is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah.
We're out of lockdown.
We are. Huzzah. Yeah. Well, kind of.
We're in lockdown light. Stuff. No, look, it is lockdown light now is probably the best way to call it because it's not completely soups on, but there are a lot of things we can do now that we couldn't do before. But one thing that this is meaning is like staggered and bit by bit, people are going to be heading back to work.
Exactly right. Very, very, very exciting.
But not very, 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 very exciting for dogs.
No, I'd imagine it'd be quite disorientating. We already went through this last year, but yeah.
They're going to be a little bit sad to see us go. Cats apparently are having the exact opposite problem where they want us gone. Like us being there all the time is really disrupting their routines.
It's quite irksome.
A lot of cats are actually getting stressed because we're around all the time,
yeah.
Which if that doesn't encapsulate cats in a nutshell, I don't know what it is. I love them. They're adorable furry idiots that think they own the house.
Mm.
They're like, what are you doing in my house all the time? Go away.
Yeah.
I love cats, but dogs, they want us there all the time. They're confused about why we're leaving again. And so there are all these tips about how to keep your dog a little bit happier when we start to make the transition.
Leaving the house a bit.
A couple of them involve, honestly, putting on the Ritz.
Bit of a facade.
Bit of acting.
Yeah, okay.
They're saying here that one of the smart things to do is just maybe like a couple of times a day, maybe once an hour or something like that, pick up your car keys. And just jingle them about.
And don't
and make
leave.
It look like you're going to leave the house and don't leave.
Yeah.
So that when you do, the noise alone doesn't just Pavlov's dog style make the dog start freaking out.
Sure.
Has to sort of be like comfortable with the concept of, I might occasionally go for these keys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I pick them up, doesn't mean I'm leaving, but I eventually will leave.
And nothing bad happens. See, I put the keys back. We're all fine.
Yep.
But also same thing happens. I leave. I will come back.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of calms the dog down a lot. I don't know how much you need to commit to it. Like
well,
how
you
much
sell it?
We doing Daniel Day-Lewis style?
Yeah.
Like you've got to really, really be like, oh, I'm off now, guys. All right then. Or is it just the jingle of the keys? I want to know how much acting has to go into it.
I guess a little bit because it's like you can't just pick them up and then jingle them and put them back in. You've got to sell it a little bit, like you have
what
some
you
kind
do?
Of intention.
Would you add a little bit of pizzazz to it?
But I think this is it. I'm thinking of playing it too casual, so much so that the dog wouldn't even notice. Like if I went to pick up my keys because here's. No, I don't
just realized I
me.
Really should have brought my keys down for this, but anyway, that's fine.
I realize I never have my keys on me. But yeah, it's like if I picked up my keys, what I would do is go, well, that's me.
Well, that's me.
But the dog's not going to know what that means.
Yeah. And you live alone, so that's strange. It'd be just you and the dog.
What if I did, pick up the keys, and if I was, behind the counter, I did, all right, and then waved and did, the, all right, and then, pretended
the
I was
stairs.
Walking down the stairs.
Yeah, I think that'd scare the dog. It'd be like,
oh my God,
where
are you
going? There's a hole in the kitchen. What's happening? I think I'd probably just do a bit of a clear of the throat. I think that's subtle enough. I'd get the keys right. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a right-o.
Yeah. Right-o.
That felt natural.
Yeah,
just
right-o.
Add the right-o.
Yeah.
That's the choice I'd make. As a character of Josh leaving the house.
Once again, we're conveying our casualness of not really leaving in English.
Yeah, it's true. The dog probably isn't going to understand any of it. And
so,
plus, once I start to set up some of the lights as well, just get the lighting right for this moment,
very
the dog's
going
to be like, no, this is all fake. We know it now.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh. One of my friends has a kid. Well, a bunch of my friends have kids now, which is becoming more and more upsetting.
Isn't it funny how that just transitions to one of my friends has a kid. Isn't that weird? To I'm the only one that doesn't have a kid. Isn't that weird? Yeah, it just keeps, it changes. It changes.
It's getting to the point now where my friends are having their second children, which is always.
Yeah, yeah.
And making me, you know, it's lovely, but it really does rub it in your face.
It's
when you get asked to be a godfather when you don't even have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah, cool. Thank you. I find it so funny too because it's like when you transition from that period in life where it's like, oh okay, well, that's a bit unexpected. Is it money-wise, you're going to be okay to, oh, no, it's not bad news anymore. This is exciting.
Like it's prepared for this.
It's congratulations. It's not, oh, God, really? Yeah. That's okay. Yep, well, no, that's happening. That's fine.
It's funny because I'm already a godfather, and the other day I got asked by the parent of my godchild where I was baptized, and I was like,
nope.
You're barking up the wrong tree, unfortunately. you and God are asking the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, is that a problem? You are the godfather already.
And that's because I was asked to be a godfather. I've put the daddy because that's the exact same thing. They're like, do you do communion? I'm like, no. You've asked me.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to work this out.
Exactly.
I don't know.
This isn't my problem.
I didn't fill out a form to apply to be the godfather.
Exactly.
You asked me.
The fact they got me in a church at all is impressive. No, but one of my friends' kids has... It's just, it's a, such a kid thing. You said yours was Titanic.
I got obsessed with Titanic.
Something snaps in your brain as a kid occasionally where you're like, oh, cool. This is all I want to think and talk about 24/7. For my friends as kids, that is a Highland cow. Which, if you don't know what a cow, I will describe it the way he would describe it, is it's a furry cow. You know those cows that have super long
and they've got like emo haircuts.
They've got like the super grungy, like and then they've got the big horns that come out. This kid is obsessed with Highland cows.
That's
to the point
fantastic.
Where wants a Highland cow party, like obviously wants a cake.
That's not one you'll find a kit for at Kmart.
No.
That's a very unique party.
But my friend said, like, essentially you just get, you make a blob that looks vaguely like a cow, and then you just essentially do the icing down it to make the hair.
Oh,
she's
fantastic.
Like, it's the easiest cake I've
that's
ever
fantastic.
Made in my life. Yeah, obsessed with it. All he wants is books about Highland cows. Not even regular cows either. He doesn't like dairy cows. It's these long, hairy cows. So I'm guessing the hair has something to do with it.
You just get I guess you get a kit for a bluey party and just draw more fur.
That's true.
Maybe. I don't know.
Trying to think, like, you know, you get the serviettes and the hats
I mean,
and all
guess,
that.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to start with a cow as opposed
probably,
to a dog?
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. I just love it. It is so interesting. I would love to know, because this person, my friend has asked me, like, oh, it's super interesting. And I'm actually like, yeah, it is kind of interesting. And they're saying, I wonder if it ever developed, is going to develop into anything, or maybe this will be a fleeting cow obsession.
Yeah.
I would love to know on 131060, did your kid just like randomly become obsessed with something?
Yes.
And potentially the best case scenario, did it eventuate into something?
Because I mean, obviously what we've got to probably think the gold standard is at the moment for it eventuating into something is Greta Thunberg just getting obsessed with climate change.
Yes.
And then winning a Nobel Prize. That's
pretty
probably
good.
The best way that's ever gone. When I was a kid and obsessed with the Titanic, that couldn't really lead anywhere. Yeah. They were like, yeah, we've already got people working on this. We understand.
I used the printer at home to print off the entire Wikipedia page for Bigfoot when I was like 11. And the reward I got for that was using my own pocket money to buy more printer ink.
Yeah. Your parents getting angry at you.
Yeah,
fantastic. 131060, what did your kid just randomly become absolutely obsessed
needed
with?
Needed everything about
strangest
it.
Strangest topic?
Yeah.
That would we'd love to hear from you. Get on the phone.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Philip's on the line from Carrabah. Philip, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad,
doing
mate.
Well, thank
now,
you, Philip.
Now, your kid previously or currently obsessed with something?
Yes, he's obsessed with. Well, he was obsessed with gold when he was younger.
like the precious metal.
Yes.
Fantastic.
to the point where he wanted to change his name to Gold Key.
Gold Key. That, I mean, that's
sick. That's brilliant. That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. How were you able to, like, obviously, Ned's friend's having a party.
Yeah.
Were you able to get
Jesus.
To, because this is expensive as an interest to be able to play, Kate. Did you have to make anything? Did you get the spray paint out and make anything gold? Or?
We kind of just got like the spray paint and stuff out. And
yeah.
It's
like what Josh was saying before about the Fabergé eggs. Essentially, Charles has picked one of the most expensive things to be involved in. Will you take him to the mint and stuff? Like, how did you satisfy his taste for gold?
We kind of just gave him, like, fake gold and
you know,
hope for the best.
He's like, Dad,
fake gold and hope for the best.
It's like, Dad, this gold is turning green. This is not real.
Real gold.
He wants one of those diamonds looking through the things that jewelers have for his birthday.
That's
we didn't get anything like that.
No, that's actually sensational. That's fantastic, Philip.
Very expensive things.
It's just like when you're like, oh, does he go to the mint? No, he's not allowed near the mint anymore. They've got him on some kind of a gold watch list. He's not allowed near the mint. Gold. Oh, that is the best. That is the best.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
One of the things we all just know about Canberra but don't really ever get into here is that we're just surrounded by embassies, consulates.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. Like, when you bring somebody here to visit, and you can remember doing that when you used to be able to do that, a relative or a friend, maybe as part of, like, oh, there's Parliament House, you do, like, a loop around near Yarralumla and be like, here are all the embassies. Try and guess which embassy is this. Do you recognise that flag? It's a bit of a fun game to play. Apart from that, though, most Canberrans, we just go about our lives forgetting they're even here.
I forget the Parliament House is here all the time.
I was literally in Yarralumla the other day driving around doing the game on my own. I was like, this is fascinating that these are here and no one really knows about what goes on in them or anything like that. And then I saw a news story this morning, Ned, about the Belgian embassy.
Okay.
And I went, this is exactly what I was thinking to myself. I want to know some inner workings of what's going on at the embassies.
What's Belgium famous for?
It's terrible news.
Oh, okay.
No, not, that's then. Not what they're famous for. Oh. This is from the Belgian embassy.
Yeah.
Is terrible news. The ambassador had pet ducks, and they were killed by foxes.
The fox patrol.
The foxes killed the pet ducks.
Right.
And I wouldn't bring you this news unless there was a happy turn to this story. Certainly not for the ducks, but for the ambassador himself, Mikkel Goffin. He's now got some alpacas.
Oh.
No, he hasn't had foxes.
He's embraced the fox.
He's now taken up fox hunting.
He likes its wiliness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's got alpacas. Yeah.
Notoriously hard to take down with a fox.
Yeah, I don't think foxes are going to be doing anything to the alpacas. And the best thing is, anybody that's had an alpaca will tell you, they become like the herd protector animal.
Yeah.
So now if he wanted to get ducks again, potentially the alpacas would ward off predators, because any animal you put an alpaca with, it thinks it's in charge of it and responsible for
exactly.
it. They get very defensive of animals.
I wonder if that would translate to birds, because I know it definitely is like sheep, cows, yes. dogs, cats, like all land animals. I wonder if the ducks, because they can just fly away.
True, good point.
Maybe they'd we're not subservient to you because we can leave. We can fly away and we can never come back.
Look, I don't know how many people work at the Belgian embassy. Do you think there was a 5-year-old style moment where the staff considered just getting some other ducks?
Yeah, 100%.
Will he notice? This is terrible news.
Well, and also, replacing ducks with alpacas, you have none of the equipment.
Oh, it's not a one-for-one.
No. I think you could replace, if you were like, you know what, I'm sick of these foxes tearing apart my ducks, mm-hmm. I'm going to get a hawk instead.
Oh, yeah.
You still have, bird cages and you still have, bird feed. I'm sure you have to feed hawks and ducks, nearly the polar opposite things.
Probably,
At the same time, you still have, bird cages and stuff like that. And I don't know if ducks have leashes, but you have bird leashes as well.
I was actually driving in Yarralumla the other day. I don't know when this duck attack happened.
You ran over a duck.
I nearly ran over a fox.
Oh,
it might have been that fox. I mean, he might have been escaping from the crime scene. Anyway, point here is, great news, alpacas now in the Belgian embassy. Also great news, I would love to see this as a TV show. Not the exact story.
Not the alpaca replacement.
No, just every, but think about a season where every episode was a different embassy and we just found out what was going on in there.
It'd be pretty interesting.
Because they're all high gates, high fences, you don't know what's going on in there. Just one episode a season. And here's what's happening inside the Swiss embassy today. And you'd be like, oh, there you go. All right.
I'm by no means a smart man. Mm. I do see a problem with showing the inside of embassies.
Diplomatic. Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, actually, probably with the submarine stuff that went down, France won't participate in this show at the moment. We're just all very angry, guys. Your camera's not welcome in.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned. Right now, though, a ram raid has occurred up in Queensland of a motorbike shop. It's going viral online because it is just the brazenness of the whole thing is bizarre.
Yeah.
Someone's just driven a front loader into the front of the shop.
Mm.
So it's not even like someone's stolen a ute and just tried to knock over an ATM. They've driven a front loader, which you'd have to imagine pretty identifiable, hard to get away from the crime scene quickly.
Very slow,
straight into the front of this shop, stolen two motorbikes. Now,
I'm imagining they rode the motorbike.
Ride the motorbikes off. Yeah, good points. They've just left the front. So that's, they've stolen the front line.
Yes.
There's absolutely no
way.
You
don't bring your, I don't think.
This isn't a Christopher Nolan movie. We have to spend money to make money. We're going to buy a front loader.
I think it would be less than 1% of all ram raids are used with actual people's cars, because I think you have to leave the car there
or
whatever vehicle you have.
This isn't an elite crime, but say spur of the moment thing you'd have to imagine. Anyway, well, that's kind of what I want to talk about, though, because this is making news worldwide, because anything with footage like this is going to make news on the internet, because it is. It's almost hypnotic watching it. It's like they really just drive a front loader full tilt at a shop. They've stolen the motorbikes, and the international headlines, so the press agencies that ship this stuff out worldwide, have referred to it as a daring ram raid.
Mm.
And I find that adjective, when used in conjunction with a crime, to be the wrong vibe, because I think the criminals sit back and watch this and go, was pretty daring. We are pretty bold.
Yeah, what do you think? They think they're in
sitting there going with
Point Break.
Yeah, that's it. Sitting there just going, geez, we are kind of creme de la creme criminals here. We're daring. It's like, you stole a front loader and drove it into a shop. It's the simplest crime that could ever take place.
You said brazen before. Do you think that's a better word?
Brazen.
Brazen more is like, the way that I interpret it, at least, is like you have more of a carefree attitude.
Yeah,
you're just like, whatever.
Like daring, but not good.
Yeah.
And it's like, just too.
Brazen. It's like you're too confident. confident in a bad way.
Yeah, it's like you're a jerk.
Yeah,
by your confidence,
brazen,
like you're daring,
a brazen act of cowardice.
Yeah, there you go. Like an unashamed,
exactly.
Unashamed. Daring does make it sound like you're Keanu Reeves, and I don't think that's what you want to. What the vibe you want to send out there for people who would steal a front loader and drive it into the front of a shop?
Do you think if they were stealing money or something else, maybe valuables instead? Mm. Because they're stealing motorbikes, it is kind of point breaky. I could see Cody doing this.
The only reason I say no is because if
it's like a cool thing, a cool getaway thing to steal.
I don't think we have to come back to what I originally said about the movie style heist.
Mm.
You're not stealing, as you said, you have to be stealing something else. You can't be stealing the motorbikes. The motorbikes have to be part of it and already your getaway vehicle. You own the motorbikes, they're yours, and you're stealing maybe like treasure or something, artwork or something like that, and then maybe we could say daring, because then we're at literally something from a movie plot.
Yeah, I guess, getting away and the thing you're also stealing is a little underwhelming, I suppose.
But if I've said now the getaway vehicle needs to be motorbikes, and then they need to steal something else in order to get the title of daring, what I'm worried about now is these people already have the motorbikes.
Yeah.
So now we come back to the original problem, this daring title, spur them on to do something else.
Now they'll know that they need to add jet skis and a canal to it as well.
They need to change the adjectives from daring to dickheads. Dickheads ram raid and steal motorbikes. And they'll be like, oh, that's not as fun.
Yeah, that's
my feelings a little bit.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
See, Adele broke the record for most streams on Spotify.
No, but
over the weekend,
checks out,
21 million listens was set in BTS back in May, and now Adele smashed the world streaming record comeback single. I think it's like 24 million streams or something like that.
That's crazy.
But the only reason I'm mentioning this is for Mr. Ed Sheeran.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens when you just go away for a while?
Yeah.
Just give it a try.
I mean,
just don't do anything for a while. See what happens.
He does do that. Unfortunately, then he just like releases an entire album of singles.
Duets.
So we just hear him for like 3 years straight.
Adele goes, I'm gonna peace out for a while, guys. Maybe I'll host SNL just randomly in the middle, but you won't hear any music for a while, and then breaks records.
Then look at me go. God, good on Adele. Not good on for this poor lady in England who has gone to get her car tuned up a little bit and has run into something a little unfortunate. She has been conned, kind of.
Oh, no. Yeah,
into
good.
Well, the reason we know about this is because she messaged her dad and was like, "Hey, I just got my car tuned up," and he was like, "Oh, great! What's the damage? What are we looking at?"
Dads love that.
What it saying? What's the damage?
No. Dads love the car getting fixed.
Yeah.
Jesus, my dad. That's all he speaks to me about, really, at this point. Yeah.
And fun enough, my dad says is, "What's the damage?" Anytime I go, I got this.
Yeah.
What's the damage?
Yeah.
None, because I earn a salary. It's fine.
We can make it work. I factor in that I have to get my car serviced every 6 months.
I bought a $50 a pair of jeans. It's okay. This lady has gone there, and I feel like maybe the mechanics have taken advantage of maybe the fact she doesn't know a lot about cars.
That's
the same way that they would take advantage of me.
And me. I've got a good mechanic, though. So anything that's said moving forward, I can't besmirch my current mechanic because they're very good.
They've charged her €70, so £60, aka $80, for premium air in her tyres. Which for
that's
all of those
very unfortunate.
Playing at home is not a thing.
It's not like it's always Fiji oxygen. It's not like a Fiji water version of air.
Yeah.
And you just, especially not air that goes in your tires.
No, yeah, just exactly right. Her dad's like, what?
Do they do that? I'm starting to think, do they do that with like race cars sometimes? They put like hydrogen, like helium or something in tires. Do they ever put a different gas in tires?
Maybe they put hot.
There's no way you're putting that in somebody's Honda Jazz doing like a service on.
Exactly.
This is absolutely conning someone out of some cash.
The dad's like, are you such and such serious? Are you such and such this? The dad's like, understandably, like, there is no such thing as premium air. And I just, look, I don't want to besmirch the entire name of mechanic because, once again, this is not everyone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does seem
your
like...
Oh, your granddad's a mechanic.
My granddad was a mechanic. My uncle is a mechanic. Honestly, he's probably disappointed that I'm not a mechanic.
Yeah.
But... It just does seem like it's the only one of very few industries where if they can manage to trick you, well,
This
sucks to suck.
I think also, and this is once again, my best mate is one. Yeah. And I used to dabble occasionally. DJs are the same. No one knows how much that should cost.
Yes.
So when you say, oh, how much for 4 hours at my 21st? And they're like, what if
$300.
And like, yeah, sounds about right.
Okay.
$900. Yeah. Seems a bit steep, but I don't know. Exactly. So yeah, okay, I want a DJ. It's just, this is mechanics can be exactly the same.
Yep.
I think what I would like to see happen is kind of like, have you ever been in a situation where you're in a lift and somebody in the lift is speaking in a different language and you're like, I'm pretty sure they're making fun of me, but I don't know. Mm. And you just would give anything for somebody in the lift to come in and who speaks the language and
then
drops the anonymity away from what they're saying.
Yeah.
I would love to see a mechanic try to do this to another mechanic.
Yeah.
So like if you're a mechanic, when you go to get your car serviced, just be like, pretend to not know what you're talking about. And when they start to take you for a ride, you can be like, interesting. I wouldn't have thought the carburetor needed to be looked at right. They'd be like, oh my God, what have we done?
The reason I don't think that would work is because I think mechanics sign comes some kind of Hippocratic oath you shall never trick another mechanic.
I'll tell you why I don't think it would work. I reckon they just fix their own cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
There is a subreddit.
There's heaps of them.
Yeah, I know. This one is one I can talk about on air. Well, actually, almost borderline can't because it's called Am I the Asshole?
Yeah, right.
Where people go to this forum and go, here's a situation I was in where I think I was in the right. You guys let me know, the general public, was I in the right? Was I the a-hole in question? Yeah. This lady who is an aunt, she has a nephew who she's just bought a birthday present for, has hit this subreddit up to ask the community, am I in the wrong? What's happened is that she has bought her nephew for his birthday a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
First one he scratched has won $50.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. The second one is like in the high five-digit numbers.
Like $70,000, $80,000.
Like she said, quote unquote, a life-changing amount of money.
Yeah, for sure.
Here's what's happened afterwards. And this is, I feel bad for this lady because she's in a predicament, but you can never do this because it exposes how bad you thought the gift was.
Mm.
She has gone, I think I'm entitled to at least three-quarters of this money.
Three-quarters.
Yeah, three-quarters. Because she's
saying, to purchase the ticket. Yeah.
Here is her justification, because she's not just going, I want the money, right, or whatever. She's saying that this kid has like a college fund paid for. He's got all this stuff he wants. His family's pretty well off. She's saying she's struggling. She's like working paycheck to paycheck. So she's like, I think I am entitled to at least three-quarters of it. I went to his mother about that. She was like, are you insane?
Mm.
Don't ever ask him this.
Yeah.
Then she went to the nephew and was like, hey, I think you should probably give me a lot of the money. And the nephew was like, no.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Everyone in the subreddit, the general consensus, which is the consensus I have, is like, you should have asked them for help before this happened.
Mm.
If you really are living paycheck to paycheck, you should have maybe had a conversation with them before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the overarching thing that I think is the overarching message with stuff like this, because you see it happen semi-frequently, you can't buy someone a lottery ticket and then when it turns out to be good, want some of it, because then that exposes the thought that I was only buying you this because I thought it was worthless. I
thought it was going
to
be dud.
Or I thought it was up into the amount of $200 or something
like that. One of the smartest things, I think, in the world, in human history, has been the lottery making gift packs.
Yeah.
Because it is essentially what you just said. It's, I'm only going to spend $7. But what this says to the person is that I potentially am comfortable with you winning $15 million from my present, and I'll be happy for you, which is never true.
That's
never, ever, 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 ever true.
You're not even a bad person if that's
just
not true.
Not true.
That's just having a natural human reaction to going, I accidentally just gave away $15 million.
Yep. So to be able to market that and it still works, people still buy them regularly for people.
Yep.
It is amazing to me. Yeah. And it is one of the greatest achievements in marketing in human history.
They've managed to pull off the greatest con ever.
I just will never, could never buy anybody a gift pack for a lotto ticket because I would not ever. I struggle when we go to the pub and you hit the feature on a poker machine next to me. Yep. I struggle with that.
And usually with both down money.
So how could I ever watch somebody I love win millions of dollars in front of me with a ticket that very much at one point was mine?
I reckon.
I bought it. I had it in my hands.
Yeah.
If I just kept it and not given it to the person, I would be 15 million. You could never live with yourself after that. Terrible.
I reckon the Dalai Lama could give someone a lottery ticket and they could win $10 million and he would be like,
Yeah, well, could have put that to some good causes. Yeah. You don't need the $10 million.
This has actually really pissed me off.
There's some charities I can think of right now that we could probably give this money to.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, talking about phoning stuff in at work, there has been a situation where there has been a description of vegan sausages on a supermarket's website over in the UK.
Okay.
And have you ever tried, and this is probably something people have experienced here in Canberra with lockdown, if you've tried to buy groceries online, they explain things in a bizarre way. Like,
what do you mean?
Like,
I've never
Cocoa Pops. It's like a chocolate-coated Rice Krispies cereal. Yeah. They explain what it is, and you're like, I get it.
It's Cocoa Pops.
Yeah, strawberry jam.
Yeah.
A jam preservative thing with strawberries. And
pureed.
It's like, I get it. It's strawberry jam. But somebody has to type these out for the website. Like, it's actually a job. And so what's happened is there has been a description for some vegan, like, sausages. So your Impossible Meat style pork, plant-based pork sausages. So it says here, I'll just read it to you. Tell me where you think somebody decided that, you know, I said, like, this is stupid. Tell me where you think the person typing this also started to think that. Suitable for vegetarians and vegans. Plant-based sausages made from pea protein.
Mm-hmm.
High in protein, high in fiber, 100% plant-based. Nobody reads Spara wants this. Sorry, am I at the word count yet? Yeah, done.
Okay, there's a pretty clear
bunch of texts.
Yeah.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is in there.
So what they did, this person just hit the keyboard a bunch of times.
And then ended it with packaged in a protective atmosphere.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, so it's ended. It's ended with something.
So it has ended with something. Yeah. No, but hang on. At what part did you stop? I feel like I just started talking. What part of that was you? Was that all of the things?
No, I was going to say, at what point were we interacting? Do you want me to try and read it to you exactly as it was?
Yes.
Nobody reads the spare, come on, this, sorry, have I hit word count yet? Bam, thank you. Super. Califragilisticexpialidocious. Filler. Yes, I can't believe this is my job. Bye. Package in a protective atmosphere.
I also liked that he knew he was at the end. It wasn't like he was just kidding. Because he ended it, I think the packaging thing maybe added it afterwards, but he did end it at the end with bye. So he knew he was at the end of it.
Bye.
Yeah.
I think this is...
Is this guy in trouble or is he fine?
I
hope this person, whoever they are,
still
is fine.
Still a mystery.
Mystery person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's it. Also, who knows? Who knows and who cares?
I think, honestly, the crew from Sainsbury's, which is kind of like a Woolies or a Coles over in the UK, these sausages are £3. They're plant-based. And people worldwide now know about them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this person's actually done their job better than anyone could ever have anticipated.
Exactly.
They've done the marketing department, quite frankly.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Hey, Ned, Squid Game, absolutely huge, phenomenon at the moment, no doubt about that. And it is, 175 million people have streamed it, according to Netflix?
More than half of people that have Netflix have watched it,
Just incredible scenes when it comes to this franchise. I would have to imagine there's going to be another season. You can't leave that kind of money on the table. And
it sort of
opens itself up at the end for either, in your mind, that's a satisfying ending, or that's a million questions that I now want answered, one or the other.
It is weird that they haven't announced it, and as much as the director is, the guy who made it is even like, we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Netflix are like, we'll see.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Yeah. It is bizarre to me, though, that, like you said before, it was made for, whatever, like $10 million, and now it's made upward, like almost $900 million. Is there like an influx in price, I wonder? Because it's like, I didn't pay any extra money for it. Is it people signing up for it?
Mate, I couldn't even begin to tell you how they get to that $900 million number.
I'd imagine the subscription number's the exact same?
Free advertising, maybe? They're probably factoring in a whole bunch of things. New people that have signed up to the service to see the thing that everyone's talking about.
I just imagine that like the people who have Netflix are just watching it, and then like you already pay your subscription.
So I was shocked about the number. It's like $900 million.
Where's that come
how
from?
Many, where are all these people who don't have Netflix? Amazing. They're in the market. They just haven't been tempted by anything yet. And
this has knocked them over the
edge. Something where I have to read 9 hours of subtitles is the thing that's perfectly got me. Yeah. Sign me up, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, get into it. I am very excited, though, to see that this Squid Game, apparently over in Korea, has now got a real life counterpart where there is a company that were, it hasn't gone ahead, but they were planning to run something they were calling the Saint Game, which was basically, it was going to be the Squid Game. And I won't go into all the games because I don't want to ruin it in case you haven't seen it. But everyone knows that one of them is Red Light, Green Light. It's going to be games like that. Childhood games, you would pay 10,000 won, and that, which is about 11 Australian dollars. And the winner at the end would receive about 5.5 Australian grand. Like, so 5,000 grand. 5,000 grand. $5,500 to play the Squid Game. Like 1,100 people playing. So you have to beat 1,100 other people to win 5 grand.
I'm assuming that everyone is operating off the same basis of, like, if you fail in the Squid Game, you die. That's the
key caveat here.
I'm imagining
no death.
It's
funny. That's not why it was cancelled. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, yeah, of course it's been cancelled. That's bizarre and very morbid. But no death.
Well, I thought you were going to say why was it actually cancelled then?
I can't see here why it was actually cancelled.
That's so bizarre.
$5,000 though was the prize money. The event organisers, if everyone had participated, paid the 10,000 won, they would have made about 12,000 Australian dollars. So it's like making half your money back, giving half away for prize money. Not bad.
When you take debt, like, because obviously the stakes are so much higher. There's like $45 million and deaths on the line. So it's like, that makes it. When you take that away and it's 5.5 grand, you're essentially just talking about wipeout.
Kind of. Yeah. And honestly, last year all the rage was like pop-up bars over summer. I'd be all for Squid Games just happening everywhere.
Pop-up inflatable Squid Game.
Couple of beers and you just pay your 11 bucks and try and win a bunch of kid games and you could potentially win 5 grand. Sounds good to me.
It's a strange future we're living in where a TV show about people getting murdered for money has been turned into like, hey, just come and do it for fun. This is all right.
As long as there's an Instagram wall I can take a photo in front of, I'm all for it.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Taking a little bit of a look at my phone at various intervals over the weekend. And by various intervals, I mean yesterday I laid in bed for nearly 10 hours just looking at my phone.
Do you want to compare screen
time for yesterday?
Yeah.
Because yesterday for me was a bizarre day for me. That's not something I normally do.
Okay.
It's like my body just went, you know what? You're going to just stay in bed and look at your phone all day. Yep. That's going to be what you'd need to do mental health-wise today. And I was like, you know what? If that's what I need to do.
It's going
to
make me sad when you tell me what it is and then I...
How do we go into specific? See all activity?
Yep.
Yesterday?
Week?
Total screen time? Yep. Day?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
No way.
So my yesterday, which as we just established was a bizarre day for me, was 7 hours and 20 minutes on my phone. Hours and 20 minutes.
Yes, same.
What was yours? Did you say a normal day? So yours was like a normal day yesterday, normal weekend day.
What did you say? Yours? Mine was
7 hours and 20 minutes, which was bizarre for me.
Yeah, same.
What is yours?
12 hours and 4 minutes.
So half the day yesterday.
And I think the other half
probably
I spent
also the majority of your waking hours.
Yeah.
And that's more just normal for you?
I don't know.
Teenagers, parents of teenagers, set screen limits. Because this is what happens when... Are you looking at all your other days?
How was Saturday more?
Do you spend more than 12 hours on your phone on Saturday?
I spent 12 and a half hours.
Mm-hmm.
Friday's going to be good. Oh, thank God. Friday's at least 10.
Oh. So you spent more than my unbelievably bad day on a weekday.
Not one of my days yesterday was less.
Are you researching how to cure cancer? Like, what, are you doing anything helpful with this time?
Unless they're discovering it on TikTok. No.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that made me sad.
I almost want to do an app-by-app breakdown. I'm really worried about you.
How's that happen?
So, back to this was actually just meant to be a turn of phrase.
It's now
become
an
existential crisis.
I didn't think mine was going to be that bad.
I checked my phone, as I'm known to do.
Fantastic.
And I saw...
As I'm going to do less of.
I saw a screen grab of a crying emoji and Michael Caine.
Oh, I saw this as well.
And I was panicked because as a Batman fan, and also Michael Caine's just an acting legend, but for me, he's Alfred. Thought he died.
Yep.
Because he's old. There's no doubt about that. And I thought he died. Little sad face emoji, Michael Caine. The news is he's dead. Nope. The news is he's retiring from acting.
Which, by the way, two days later, no, he's not.
No, he's not. So it's not even the right news, but it caused my heart to like pump out of my chest for a second.
Yep.
Same thing that happens anytime we celebrate the birthday of an older celebrity and there's just the thumbnail. They know what they're doing because the thumbnail is always the same kind of photo they'd used if the celebrity died, but it's like, happy birthday.
Exactly.
I think we need to institute a rule around responsible reporting on older celebrities for just milestone events.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like if something's going on with a celebrity, just let us know.
Yeah.
But if it's just a routine like... Here's
something they did.
Happy birthday, whatever. Just No emojis, probably. No, like, kind of looking into the distance type photos. Yeah. None of that.
No,
maybe for
no
birthdays.
No photos of them in their youth either.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yep.
For their birthdays, maybe a photoshopped birthday hat has to be part of it from now on.
That would actually solve all of this. If you had to photoshop an enormous cake in front of them and a party hat on them and then, like, a little, like, maybe a streamer or something coming out of their mouth, no one would be confused. That or, and I guess this is kind of also offensive once you get to this age, that every article that's written about you has to have this. But, like, massive, before anything, before any sad or before any heartbreak emojis, not dead.
Yeah, not dead.
Michael Caine announces not retiring from movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not dead. Clint Eastwood goes to the beach.
Yep.
Not dead. Betty White has a great lunch.
Yeah, tremendous
perfect
stuff. Perfect. Maybe we just, I don't know, Photoshop them doing something like playing tennis or something. Just something very active, very alive. And we're like, oh, cool. Yeah. Safe.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So then when you see the looking into the distance or the black and white photo from when they were younger, you're like, definitely dead. All right, now prepare myself.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.